I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
383, oh baby, 383, 383, oh baby, it's the one for me. Hello and welcome to episode 383 of the podcast, Two in the Think Tank, where we come up with five sketch ideas.
And I'm Alistair George, controlled by Rachel. Yes. Andy, you've heard of hand-cut chips, right?
Oh, chip-cut hands. I love it.
Eh? No. No. This is cut-hand chips.
Yeah, okay.
So these are chips that were made with somebody who recently cut themselves with a knife.
Yes.
And the chips are soaked in blood, which means that they're higher in protein.
Yes, blood-infused. That's really good.
You know, so that way you can have things when you're somewhere, you know, when you're like, you're on like a keto diet.
Yeah.
But you're sort of fallen off the wagon and you're kind of eating things that aren't quite keto.
Yeah.
But you're wanting to still kind of stick with it a little bit. Yes. So you're like, all right, yes, I'm eating fries. Yes, I'm eating nothing but white carbs, but these ones are soaked in the blood of the person who cut the potatoes. And so... They are. They will keep my protein levels up, yes. And maybe I will maintain some level of ketosis. Yeah. You won't. But this is what you tell yourself.
Well, the chef, they're putting a lot of themselves into this. You know, what are you getting? You're getting the iron from the Iron Chef. I think it's very good, Alistair.
Yeah. Blood's inspiring. I've put my blood and blood in this.
Do you know how much of my blood and blood? Yeah, I'm just repeating your joke.
I guess you could blood and tears.
I was crying because I was bleeding so much.
It's funny that when you get old, become an adult, you stop crying when you hurt yourself.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think that would be a funny thing to see in a film, you know, like an action film, right?
Yeah.
It's an otherwise a normal action film, but it's one in which both the protagonists and the antagonists cry when they get hurt. So they keep fighting, but they're crying.
Just the hero and the big boss. None of the henchmen or anything like that. They don't cry.
Yeah. They're
henchmen don't cry. That's when we'll be able to bring back the big girls don't cry song. But
you mean boys don't cry? Is there a big girls don't cry song as well? Because I know there's boys
big
don't
girls don't cry. Big girls, they don't cry.
What about
they don't cry? That song.
What about this? He's a hero, right? And he was able to achieve physical invulnerability, right? Which means that you can't hurt his body, but at an enormous expense to his feelings. He's incredibly
to his emotional vulnerability.
Yes. So in the law in accordance with the law of conservation of vulnerability, he is still as vulnerable as he once was, but now it's entirely on a sort of on a psychological level.
I really like this a lot, Andy.
And we call him the Incredible Sulk.
Andy, we might have to, are you riding a motorbike away?
Yeah, that's right.
And they call him the Incredible Sulk.
I think that's a really, that's better. I think that should be the new Badum Chish. You know?
Yeah.
It's like we deliver the punchline and then we ride off into the sunset. On our hogs. On our fat hogs.
Oh, no, we're on our dicks?
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
you know what I think about a lot, what pops into my head a lot, but is just a dumb thing that you said once. It was just about talking about raising our children and what word you teach them to call their penis.
Mm.
And then you were saying, oh, I'm raising mine to call them hogs.
I don't remember that. But that is a stupid thing that I said once. You're right.
Yeah.
You can choose anything you want, you know. And why does...
Yeah.
What, hog, what's you know, what's inappropriate about that?
That's right. It's a beautiful animal, a hog.
Yes. They're actually very...
The hog is a beautiful animal.
Intelligent beasts.
The hog is a beautiful organ.
Mm. Imagine that, a penis with horns. Awful.
Like where?
Or tusks. Tusks, like, I guess. More like tusks.
Tusks.
Like a warthog.
So down near the mouth?
Yeah, I guess so. Down near the mouth of the penis.
Because, I mean, you could picture them up at the top like a bull, but I guess you could picture them coming out the sides of the mouth, like Pumbaa.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking like Pumbaa. It's horrible though. I don't want to engage in this thought anymore.
Well, what about big elephant tusks?
No, I don't think I enjoy that either as an idea.
Andy, it's really horrible if you try to think of using it in a normal penis way. I don't think this one is getting used in that way.
Ah, very good. So, you use your penis to, you know, dig up tubers from under the ground. When you say, right. I've been rooting around a lot recently to your mates,
you mean,
they think you're talking sexually, but what they don't realise is that you've been unearthing starchy vegetables. Yeah.
Oh, I've got a truffle hog.
And when you say that, your mates, the lads that you're chatting to in the locker room, they don't realise you're talking about using your penis to find fungus under the roots of birch trees. They think that you're just suggesting that your penis, smells like truffles. I'm sorry.
Oh, you've got a fungusy cock. Mm. I'm writing down truffle hog.
Fungal infection. I have a fun gal infection. That's what.
A fun gal.
Yeah, that's
a
you
fun
know,
gal infection.
Well,
isn't that amazing?
Know,
that
trying,
fungal.
Mm.
That fungal has both fun gal and fun guy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, while we're trying to be sex positive, I think ladies who should reclaim fungal infections as being fun gal infections. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Yeah. I've got a fun gal infection. And you picture, like, and it's like people, like women dancing.
Yeah.
In the and they're throwing this tube of ointment to each other, and then they start dancing. Like lots of colors and things like that. They're all wearing kind of, you know, like block colors shirts and stuff like that. Mm. And there's kind of like drawn on like reverberations, like, you know, in kind of thick, colorful fluoro marker on the screen as well
great.
When they move.
That's great. Like stink lines, you know? But fun.
Yeah, they're fun lines.
fun gal lines, yes. I've got a fun gal inflection. That's what instead of saying vocal fry, I don't call it vocal fry. I call it a fun gal inflection.
Inflection?
Yeah, inflection, isn't that sort of how you maybe vocal fry doesn't count as an inflection. It's going inflection
what about
is
this?
Going up and down.
Mm. Vocal poach.
Yep.
Vocal broil.
What would vocal broil feels like? It's what Neil Hamburger has. Bubbling
away.
Why?
Yeah. Did you hear boil or broil?
I heard broil, but I don't really know what broiling is. But in my understanding,
I think
it's just cooking
things under a grill.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I was wrong about that then. I thought
I could also be wrong. It's a very American word, but I thought broiling was
sort of when you put it's like boiling, but you put something in the oven with water so there's water around it. But yeah. I think I was just making that up based on the vibe of the word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the word does not match up with what it is at all.
Right, yeah.
I think I really do think that it is just grilling from above. You know, it's just putting it under a grill. Isn't that interesting that we put things sometimes under a grill and sometimes over a grill, but never next to a grill? Oh, we do sometimes.
That's what toasting is, isn't it? Isn't that what a toaster does?
I guess that's what a toaster is, and that's what those like rotisserie, like elephant leg shawarma kind of like, you know, kebab meat stuff is.
Next to a grill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I really thought never you were put onto the grill somewhere. There, Alistair. I thought that was a grill.
Oh, I was so close. Mm. Right? They do it above, below, to the side, but they never put it in the fourth dimension where we can't see it.
You know, we often might hit a vein of comedy, but there for a second I thought that you'd hit the main vein of comedy.
Yeah, no, it seemed like maybe we were about to take a big comedy piss. And all of the comedy that we've accumulated over the last 8 hours.
Yeah.
All of the setups that we had accumulated over the last, you know, I had a big glass of setups before I, when I got up. And I was ready to let them all out after my body has processed them and turned them into punchlines.
Yeah, although you'd think that maybe what would come out of the main vein then would be the waste product, all the stuff that isn't punchline.
I think with piss it's excess rather than waste.
With piss, I think there's waste in there as well, Alistair.
Nah, mate, that's why you drink it. It's so good for you.
Okay.
You don't hear about any shit eaters, do you? But you do hear about piss drinkers.
That's interesting. You do not ever see Bear Grylls in the wild eating his own shit.
No, he's definitely not eating his own shit. He does squeeze that elephant dung to drink the water, but oh, I'm gonna have to eat my own shit. I mean, there must be calories in there.
Maybe if he was too hydrated. There was too much water in his body. He needed to eat some solids, you know, because that's the sort of the inverse of the needing to drink piss.
I've become... He's been floating down a river for the last 12 hours.
Yeah.
And now he needs to... He's bloated. His living body is bloated with water and he needs to... He's waterlogged, and now he needs to, like, eat something salty.
Yeah, like a nice, and dry, on the way, salted on the, shit. This yeah, is an awful like, episode the way of the here, podcast. I hate it.
On the way to this excursion, I'd been eating nothing but pork crackling.
And I've been collecting absolutely all my shits swimming in salt, drying them out.
He's going to make shit jerky. The way that we can do this is we make a little shit jerky. Now, I'm just going to put it between two banana leaves. I've got to take... It acts as both a wiping device and a plate. Now, if we mush it together, we get lots of that wonderful surface area. This is I'm getting somehow, I think, Bear Grylls mixed up with... With Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver, that's what
get,
I was going to say.
Get a lot of that lovely surface area. Now you're going to get a lot of those beautiful banana leaf flavours in there. Now we're going to put it here next to this hot volcanic rock.
That I found.
And we're going to dry that up. Eh? Yeah.
Yeah, I contributed a lot there. He's grilling it on the side there. He's putting it next
that
to
that I
the
found. Are you saying he's... Bear grilling it.
I wasn't, but maybe he would be. I mean, if he was bear grilling it, that would be he would take off the banana leaf and he would just grill.
He's called Bear Grylls, but actually he eats a lot of his stuff raw.
He does, doesn't he? I think that might be the stupidest joke I've ever heard. More like Bear doesn't cook it at all.
And he's a human as well.
More like more like human. Doesn't
eats like a bear, would.
Very good, Alistair. Flawless, beautiful. Mm. It's the word economy I like the most.
Unless it's spelled B-A-R-E, and that's what he's meaning. That his grill has not been used at all. None of his grills have been used. Anyway. It was the night before Christmas, and nothing was happening. All of the grills were bare.
What the fuck?
Not even a mouse was grilling.
Wow. That's incredible.
Old Mother Hubbard walked to her grill, but it was bare.
Now, that one works, but I don't think there's anything about bare.
But all the grills were bare.
I don't think there's anything about bare in the night before Christmas, is there? About things being bare?
No.
No.
Yes, nothing was grilling. Not even a mouse. They were all bare.
Oh, my Lord. I think that's pretty good. I think we can wrap it up there. I think people are feeling satisfied.
With a 15-minute episode?
Mm.
One day, I guess we got to do the opposite of like one of those long episodes, is we got to do the shortest possible episode.
Yeah. The minimum.
See if we can get five sketch ideas in under 5 minutes.
No, I think it's got to be one sketch idea. We come up with one sketch idea. I mean, we could do one where we spend a really, really long time coming up with one really good sketch idea, you know.
Oh.
24 hours and you're not allowed to come up with more than one idea, right? So once you start on an idea, you've just got to keep working on that, you know, chipping away.
What if we do an idea where it has to go from conception of idea to completion to like market ready?
Wow. That's not so bad. Like, you know, you've got to go from nothing to a full episode of a script. Right? Of a show.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be like you could do a kid's book. You could do a sketch. Yeah. You could do a song. That's zero to market in one.
I mean,
in under one app.
Do you have to actually get it out there? Like, you know, if it's a book, do you have to publish it? If it's a show, do you have to record it during the recording and release it? During the recording.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then we'd have to do all the drawings and stuff ourselves. Mm. I mean, I think it would be cool to actually try to do that.
I think it would be cool as well. I think we should do it. Maybe we'll try starting out with one of our bonus episodes for this month, which we've got to record soon. We'll do one where we make a full children's book. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. All right. and then we'll publish it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to do a little bit of research beforehand to find out what's involved in publishing it, like during the course of the episode. But we
have to do all prep.
Yeah.
During the episode, could we just publish it on our Twitter?
Yeah.
Or do you think it actually needs to be published in like for sale?
Well, I wonder how long it takes to get something up on on Amazon, just as an ebook or something like that. Maybe they have they might have to review things. That might take a certain amount of time. But, you know, if we record it later here, they might be up in America reviewing things.
Yeah.
Maybe we could talk to someone we know who works as an editor at Amazon. And see if they can push it through the system a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Give us.
If we had the access to somebody on the inside who has access to all aspects of Amazon, somebody who works in a very different department of Amazon, but has like the key card to the city.
Yeah.
Eh?
The skeleton key city.
Mm? Oh, yeah. You've heard of the skeleton key, but what about the gelatin key? He's been given the gelatin key. And you stick it in there, you fuck up the lock.
Yeah. Well, it would be good. It would be good to have a kind of a gelatin where you you know, maybe it's a maybe it's one of our favorite things. Maybe it's a non-Newtonian.
That's exactly where my mind was going. I was like, I can't wait to Andy to finish talking so I can talk about cornstarch in water.
But like, you know, if it would be great if you could pour a lot of cornstarch into a lock, right? Force it all in there as a liquid, okay? And then you whack it, right? It becomes a solid and you turn it really quickly, right? And then it makes a solid key.
Couldn't you just like squeeze it? Couldn't you squeeze it hard or something like that at the back?
Maybe.
Have like a big bubble or whatever there.
Yeah, in a way, maybe that's what whacking would achieve. You whack it really hard.
But isn't it inside? Isn't it inside the lock?
Yeah, but it's coming out. So you're like by pressuring, you know, you're pushing the entire fluid.
You're right.
Soon to be solid.
Soon to be solid.
Applying that pressure throughout. I don't know what it's like for lateral strength. I think that might be where we come undone. Alas.
Oh.
But who knows?
Oh, I don't know. But yeah.
We could be the custard bandits, Alistair. This would be quite our calling card.
This would be the,
people show up at the scene of a crime and all they see is this sticky off-white liquid everywhere. Oh,
it looks like someone's jizzed in the lock.
And that's what they assume. And that helps them to throw the scent. By the way, we also give it the scent of jizz instead of vanilla.
That's a really good idea. We find those cum trees that we have here in Australia, and we bottle the cum smell. We become cum perfumiers. Perfumers, right?
Mm.
This is all part of our plan. So half of the year we're cultivating cum. You know, we have like you know, cum tree leaves, and then or the flowers or whatever it is, right? And then we've got that, but then we've also got vials of cum, so that we can, you know, match up the odors to make sure that we're getting it just right.
We're a cum. We're also cum sommeliers.
Sommeliers. And camellia is actually quite good.
Yeah, so we're trying to make our crimes appear sexual, some sort of sexual theft.
That's right. We just want people to think we're perverts, but actually we're just petty thieves. We're actually the lesser crime petty thieves, people who just steal objects to sell them for money.
Yeah, you know, all our thefts get referred to the sex crimes unit, and they're ill-equipped to investigate this because, you know, it's not their field, and that's how we've gamed the system.
Oh, that's right. Did we? What was it? The custard?
the custard bandits?
Yeah, bandits. It's a non-Newtonian lock picking.
Yes, non-Newtonian law. Non-Newtonian's law.
That's we don't follow the law or the Newtonian laws.
We've got no respect. We are evading the long arm of Newton's law.
I had an idea.
I guess the long arm of Newton's law, that's gravity, right? Presumably.
Yeah. I guess so. What about this thing about gravity not being a force? Have you heard about this?
I'm open to that idea. I'm not sure if I've heard about it, but it feels, because I've always struggled to reconcile. See, physics seems to be trying to have too many things going on with gravity. Because on one level, they tell us, well, it's just like space is curved, okay? So really, the things are following straight lines in curved space. And you're like, oh, okay. But then if they're traveling, following a straight line, then they're not accelerating or whatever. They're not experiencing a force. And and then why would we be searching for, like, some fundamental particle like a graviton, fundamental particle that mediates the force of gravity, because there is no force of gravity. I've never looked into it, but whenever I start to think about it, I get tied up in knots and I get quite frustrated. My other problem is I don't like how they're always trying to unite all the forces. like coming up with a find a way to unify gravity yeah. with the other three fundamental forces. I don't know why they need to do that, and I don't even really understand what it means, right? And once again, I'm not willing to do the work to find out.
Yeah, doesn't it just mean that they're like that, like all the mechanisms are in some way connected through something that makes sense, like, you know, it's like through some logical path. Isn't that all it means?
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, right? But like, apparently, if you go back far enough, right, into the history of the Big Bang, all the forces were just one force, right? They were all unified, and then somehow that force split up, you know, like One Direction, into, you know, it was a band that had one thing, and then they all went off and had solo careers, and it turned out there are all these different manifestations or different versions of the same thing, and we're trying to get them all back together again.
So you think, so is it like the way in which everything kind of split up at the beginning made a difference on what the different forces were?
Yeah, like, but I don't understand how they can be just like one thing, they're all one thing, and then they can turn into four different things. Like, it's just, I don't know what that, I don't even know what that really means.
Yeah, but also, is it got to do with whatever the fundamental building blocks are? Because it's got to come back to that, right?
Yes.
Whatever they are, maybe they could only be whatever they are based on the initial conditions at the beginning of the universe.
I think that's true, yes.
And so whatever they are affects how everything interacts, because that's how they interact with each other.
What if this is it, right? And it's like evolution, okay? And the universe expands really quick. So there's just one force everywhere, right? And the universe expands so quickly immediately after the Big Bang that different pockets, right, get isolated from each other, okay? Different pockets of the universe, okay?
Yeah.
And those are like islands, okay? So say we have one, we start out with like one species of force, okay, which is like a bird, like a finch.
Let's just picture a lot of hot. Okay, no way. Okay, sorry, you're picturing the actual thing.
I'm picturing a finch. Okay, right, and then it splits up like the continents splitting up on the universe on Earth. Okay, and now those there are four finches, identical finches, isolated in these different situations, but because the conditions in those different areas of the universe might be different, they evolve separately, okay, and they end up with different features and different manifestations. And then, somehow, as they continue to expand, they merge back together, and then that's like the different species being reintroduced into the same environment. Now they're all coexisting, but they have different behaviors, different
So you're saying the forces
niches.
Were breeding?
The forces... I'm saying the forces were...
So you had like strong gravitational, and then it made a baby with electromagnetic.
That's not what I'm saying force. At all. No, that's
and
the
then
exact
it made
opposite.
Weak gravitation. You know, weak atomic or whatever.
That's the exact opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying they were isolated. They evolved separately to have their own different features. Okay, the four different forces from the same ancestor. Then, as those sections of the universe overlapped, it's like the habitats were merging back together again. Now they're back in they're in the same area all together. Now all behaving in slightly different ways.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. I think maybe because you had just said two.
Did I say?
And
two?
Then I was like, well, how did the other ones come about? Oh, so the only sorry. Answer I had was when you mixed them together already, rather than separating them some more. I assumed
you made
meant
the mistake
they were breeding.
Of listening to what I was saying instead of what I was thinking, Alistair.
Yes. Now, I think that's possible, Andy. I mean, it's possible. Look, so let's say it starts. Because, I mean, what would the first force be? Let's try and guess. What's the Pangea force? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Globstrap? You know, what feels like the main one? Wait, what are you saying?
Globstrap?
Globstrap? Like, as in you're trying to just guess what its name is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You're trying to guess what would it be like? What was
what
it like?
What is the force? Like, it's got to be pretty similar to the other forces.
Yeah, but I think... So what do we know? We know that it is a force, okay? We know that it's a force. And
like, let's say you just emerge. You're a bunch of energy.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just emerge into the universe out of some quantum fluctuation.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, great. You know what I love? By the way, Alistair, I want to say how much I'm loving this conversation. I apologize to the listeners who are probably hating it. But what I love is that this is in a way, we're the same as Einstein because we're just doing a thought experiment. Now, it's the dumbest fucking thought experiment by the most uninformed idiots in the world.
Sure.
We're playing in the same sandbox, you know? We're using the same tools, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah, so it was just like the same tools as in we're using our brains and imagination. Yes.
And words.
Yeah, and words. Yeah, yeah. He had to have used them. Some of his might have been German words.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He might have been picturing German atoms.
Mm.
And anyway, but you're emerged. Okay, let's say you are. Is it all energy when it first arrives? It's all energy because there's no atoms.
There's no form.
Right? So you're just a big block of energy. It's one energy, right? What do you need? What is energy then? What is the force? Like so everything is coming out. Is there any attractive energy forces where energies attract each other?
Energy particles. I think energy, as far as I understand, is different to forces. Okay? And this is so dumb. We are so dumb. And that's different to matter, right? But it feels like, you're right, they all could have started out as the same kind of gloop, right? And then they specialized, okay?
Because it would have been energy, all of it, at first. Because how are you going to materialize? How are you going to materialize matter?
Yeah,
because like, what's it coming through? And where's it coming from?
Here's what I reckon. I reckon some of the energy would have had to turn into forces first, in order to pull the energy. Oh no, but then you can't act on the energy to pull it together to make the matter.
Yeah, because like energy can be packets, right? So it can be particles of energy.
Yeah.
So maybe the interactions start with those kinds of things, right? We know that photons have momentum.
Yes.
And they can act upon other things.
Yes.
Now, what's that force?
They're the electromagnetic, you know, what are, if you take the wave interpretation of photons, they are waves of self-perpetuating electric and magnetic forces. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think we got to get out of this area.
There'd be a lot of heat too. Now that's not electromagnetic, is it?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Heat. Well, no, heat. I don't think heat could exist because there wasn't any matter. Because heat is just the movement, or the kinetic energy of particles. So I don't think there could be heat.
But right. I think the reason why there wasn't atoms or electrons and stuff for so long
is because it was too hot.
How
could it be too hot if there was nothing there for there to be heat? We're back to square one.
Yeah. Okay. So then there's gotta be some matter, but matter on a more fundamental way, which is pre electrons and
this is what I reckon what it is, right? Because I think matter is just really dense energy. Okay, I think that's what matter is, really dense energy. Right. And I think early in the universe's life, Everything was so small and so close together. There was no difference between those two things. Everything was just really dense energy, which means that the universe at that time, when it was that small, would have just been a clump of really matter-gy. Dense energy, which was just pure matter in its like undiversified form.
Like matter that's so hot that it is just energy, and energy that's so dense that it is just matter.
Yeah. I think we've got to stop there. That's the closest we've had to a coherent thought.
But wait, what's the force then? The force that's there.
Mm.
And so if it's hot, is it a hot force? There's no light because nothing can
penetrate. Nothing can penetrate the density, right? It feels like as it expands, right, little clumps of that matter break away, right, and go further away from each other. But they remember what it was like to be part of that glorious oneness, and they spend the rest of their lives reaching out to try and, you know, to try and maintain those connections. It's like leaving high school, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, you had this really intense time together. And even when you're apart, you still feel that bond. And sometimes you like something they post on Facebook. Maybe that's all it is. That's a very weak interaction, but it's an interaction nonetheless that makes you feel like you haven't aged. And the universe is still trying to...
Yeah, but Andy, I feel like you're getting too metaphorical. I want to know why. I want to know why things attract each other.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's very nice, Andy. It was a very nice story, and you should write that down in your little book.
I'm thinking of getting a little book.
Yeah?
God, I want to write things down more. Keep a record of things.
I still buy notebooks.
Do you keep any notes of things, interesting things that happen, that your children say, of special moments other than photos on your phone?
No, I mean, I definitely do videos, because I feel like that's this thing, that's the only window through time that you can really get is a video, and so that's the closest thing to a portal to the past that we can get, and so I try to make sure that, but my phone is jam-packed full, and my Google Photos is jam-packed full, and I'm trying to find ways of finding other place where I can store more data, because I don't want to not take videos. That's the only way that I'll remember properly.
But do you think there's an extra layer of sadness associated with those videos? Like, you know, that if things are just written down, right, in a book, if you just got notes of what happened or something like that, that they become, they become their own little canon, little collection of little fragments, right? But if you have just videos, like I remember children's videos from when I was quite young, it was always sadness associated with them.
I have sadness to do with like writing things down because I don't write them down. And then I go, oh my God. So I'm missing so much. And so to overcome that, I have the videos. And so the videos are very precious, but also they bring the kids so much joy.
Yeah, man, kids love watching videos of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of all the cave babies who died unable to watch videos of themselves. Maybe this is humans' ultimate purpose. Maybe we've achieved what we were always destined. You know, that's the meaning of life, maybe.
Yeah.
Is to get to a point where you can watch videos of yourselves.
Yeah.
And that's that's the pinnacle of bliss.
And every video the kid asks, can I see the video in it?
Yeah, that's right? Exactly right. That's definitely the case for Remy. Before you can react to press stop, he's already leapt towards you to say, "Can I watch it? Can I see the video?" It's really something.
Andy, we technically haven't moved since the Custard Bandits. In terms of sketch ideas, but I think that we...
Can you write down that thing about evolution of forces in isolated universe pockets?
Okay.
Because I think, while it's definitely wrong and incredibly stupid...
In,
I think there's something there. There could be something
In evolution of forces in what?
In isolated pockets of the universe. You know, they had pockets. Different conditions
yeah.
based on what had ended up in each little gloopy area.
You know, I had actually once thought of a kid's book that would be all the characters are some of the fundamental forces of the universe.
That's great. It's also a good idea for a Pixar film because they're always looking for things to personify.
I know. I think it's stupid that they're releasing one that is like the four elements or whatever.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's about to come out maybe next month or something like that. I don't know. I feel like the saying the four elements thing is like kind of going, is like the two genders thing. is allowing that thing to kind of keep living.
Yeah, right. There like, are only the four elements.
Like, also with the two genders thing, what really bothers me about that is that the straightaway the answer is like, well, what about intersex? Like, aren't there people who are born intersex? And then you go, so then... If that exists, then you can see that already the whole
You're
thing
wrong.
Is more complicated. Yeah, the whole thing is more complicated than you could possibly understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's clearly some space in between. It's like, also, people said to, like, we're the ones who said it. It's not like we found it inscribed on some, like, totem somewhere that was handed down to us by some alien species. We're the ones who said it.
Yeah.
Right? And then, anyway.
So you could just change what you say, can't you?
You could just change what you said once you have more information.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're absolutely right.
So, and I think it also just bothers me that like a lot of fantasy stuff just uses the four elements. Because it's like, oh, can we come up with new stuff? Could we do something more interesting? Anyway, I've not read any fantasy, so don't you love that? You love that I have an opinion?
I'm happy with that.
Andy, we've got three words from a listener. Now, I don't know if you know this, but we have recently acquired some listeners.
Yeah, well, at least we had them up until, I reckon, about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I'm happy to speculate on pod.
I'm having a real good time, Alistair, and I apologize for expressing any kind of doubt.
No, that's okay. And one of our listeners who supports us on Patreon is known as Tempest Marauder.
Tempest Marauder. Yeah, it's a beautiful name for a marauder.
Do I bring up the Merovingian every time we talk about Tempest Marauder? He reminds me of the Merovingian. You know the Merovingian from like the Matrix sequels? He was just this character and I never understood his significance.
Was he the one who was his own kind of virus that had broken loose within the computer system?
Maybe that's what it was. I got to go back and rewatch those, the sequels. See if I can, you know, because I haven't even seen the new one. Have you seen the new one?
The Squeakquels. I haven't seen the new one, no. The Lego Squeakquel. Haven't seen it.
The what? The Lego Squeakquel?
Well, Alvin and the Chipmunks was called the Squeakquel, right? The second one. And I'm sure I've stolen this joke from somebody else, but to refer to all other sequels as Squeakquels, I just think it's
yes,
fun.
I know, but I thought you said the Lego Squeakquel.
Well, that people talk about Lego sequels, right? Which is like a combination of legacy and sequel. Lego sequel. When you release a sequel a long time afterwards, like they did with Blade Runner, right?
Right.
And I've probably stolen this from someone as well. Lego Squeakquel.
Spookrequel.
That's good.
That's a prequel. Squeakquel. But also, I was just picturing a Squeakquel that is the made with the Lego because sometimes they do make a Lego version of a movie.
That's good
too. Like Batman, so I thought you were saying they were making a. I assume that you were telling me that you had seen a Alvin and the Chipmunks Squeakquel that was made with Lego.
No, I would never say that.
Isn't it amazing that Alvin and the Chipmunks has survived to this point when it was a whole thing based entirely on the fact that you could play records a little bit faster and the voices would go up?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it was. But that was entertainment. And now it's IP. And once something gets into the IP extended universe, yeah, you can't get it out.
You're goddamn right. Do you think one day when we make one of these episodes of a podcast where we have to like write something into its complete to its completion point, that one day we'll write a novel that way?
Yeah, I think we will.
Maybe we could write a novella over a writing. You know, maybe a novella is a good starting point.
Hang on, I'm just trying to formulate a campaign for. Do you know? Is there a campaign for like internet freedom, like being able to use whatever kind of property, intellectual property, or like, you know, for royalty free Wikimedia?
There is, yeah, like the Internet Archive and things like that, I think, where they're trying to do a bit more of that, yeah, but I'm not sure, yeah.
So I wanted to do a joke, and maybe I'm stealing this from somewhere as well. I'm too anxious now about stealing jokes. But like, who called it, what idiot called it the Wikimedia Commons and not IP freely?
You know. Sure, yeah. But it's also a reference to a Simpsons joke, right? But
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Thanks,
I'm less worried about stealing jokes now, because now it feels like it's impossible to sort of not.
Sure.
And so you just try to make jokes that are at least fun and interesting,
so stupid,
and feel different, stupid. And then if there happens to be overlap, well, it's very, you know, it's just inevitable. So Tempest Marauder has sent in three words, Andy, and I was wondering if you would like to try to guess what one of those words, the first one, is.
Yes, the first word is argon.
No, it isn't. The first word, Andy, you'll be surprised to hear, is wasabi.
Wasabi, okay. Wasabi. Oh, it's going to be... Wasabi lubricant is the second word. Lubricant.
Wasabi lubricant. No, that's a great idea, though, Andy.
Oh,
I think.
Great.
You know, I think a lot of the wasabi lubricant is actually horseradish lubricant these days.
Yeah.
Because it's a, you know, it's quite a rare root. That's
as I
that
imagine
I get.
All roots are all, when all, you've got wasabi on your cock.
Yeah. And no, the second word is mayo, Andy.
Wasabi Mayo Clinic. Wasabi Mayo Clinic.
Well, that's a very good guess, Andy. Oh. But unfortunately, it is incorrect. It is Wasabi Mayo Treasure.
No.
Now, I am picturing some people on a desert island.
Yeah.
Who, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean style. Mm. They've just dug up a big wooden chest and they open it up and there's just a green mayo in there.
Yeah, wow. You've done a lot of value adding there, Alistair, to that idea.
Yeah. All right. Oh, how about this? There's a chicken in there.
Oh, that's good.
And there's a coconut.
What about this?
A living chicken and a living coconut tree with a full... It's a, like a micro coconut tree with a full bushel of coconuts on it. Right?
Micro
and
coconuts. That's a nice idea. They should try and make dwarf coconuts. I think that'd be fun.
They should try to make what? Coconuts?
Dwarf coconuts, you know, tiny little ones. Like a desk coconut.
Bite-sized coconuts.
Yeah.
Ones that you can eat the shell.
Yeah. I think that's cute.
Oh,
like a soft-shell crab.
Wood.
Maybe they can crossbreed them by getting
like
them to make love.
Well, I guess eventually the coconut will evolve to become crab-like.
We know.
And then...
It's inevitable.
Have any plants started to look like crabs?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen some. Yeah. But, Alistair, I'm thinking of a perishable treasure, you know? Like, you know, he's the Blackbeard, the pirate, but of stealing perishable goods, foods, really expensive but short shelf life foods. And then he buries the treasure, and then there's really pressure on to find it quickly before it goes off. He buries it in an esky. There's a couple of fridge blocks in there, you know, those icy fridge blocks.
Like,
and
No, but maybe he what he's got is like a delicious ice cream cone.
Mmm, dessert island. Indeed.
But
it's one of the main plot points in book two of Gustav and Henry. Gustav Lost Pig is that they go to a dessert
the only
island.
Copy of that book that I've ever got my hands on is in a language that I can't speak.
English.
English. No, one thing that I did think, but this is the opposite of I guess it's not really a perishable food because it's beef jerky.
Mm.
Right? But then he buries it in the under the sea.
Yeah, in the salt.
In a chest still. But then he opens it up and he is like, "Oh, it's all reconstituted." My precious jerky.
Yes.
Let's think of another type of treasure that it could be, perhaps.
Friendship.
Treasure's more. Friendship is more of a gift, I think, than a treasure. You can treasure a gift, but I don't think that if friendship is something that, you know,
you could bury.
You couldn't bury it. That'd you couldn't be a really. Great... It's like you couldn't leave it to your. To your family,
that'd be a great moment at the end of a pirate movie, right?
Yeah,
it's where the pirates, the captain, they've been searching for this treasure, right? They haven't managed to find it. Okay, it gets to the end, but they've been through all these trials and tribulations. The captain says, "But of course, fellas, me boys, me hearties, we discovered." That the greatest treasure of all is you, my friends, right? And it's a beautiful moment. And then you smash cut to him burying them all alive in a hole because he can't help himself for burying.
I don't want
treasure.
Anybody to steal. I don't want anybody else to have you.
That's it's a nice moment.
Yeah, I'll write it down.
It would be the probably the most flattering way to be buried alive. I never was sure absolutely. If we were truly friends, but now I know. Right. And friends. Then a really lonely man finds the treasure map to try and then he goes on a quest to try and dig up the friends to have friends again.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, he finds the friend ship.
Ah!
that I have been buried in. Sorry, it's more of a friend chest. While at the beginning of that, before you started it, I had the idea because I was talking about treasure and leaving treasure to your. Imagine this is a bunch of grandchildren at the will reading.
Yes, great.
And they are left. The grandparent leaves these grandchildren. His friend. Egot, his friend Egot for the kids, and then he just walks over and he's kind of an annoying guy, but now he's their friend because the grandfather gave it to him. It's all he had. This is my greatest achievement.
Yeah,
and then they just kind of have to deal with this man.
I think that's a really cool idea for a film. You know, you inherit a friendship, and then you know you can. You can have the rest of my wealth, my millions of dollars, if you can spend one weekend hanging out with my friend Egot.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe if it's like, you know, to add some conflict in there is that they'll eventually get his house.
Yes,
but Egot's living there. It's his housemate and his best friend, and they got to take care of Egot, and they got to be his friend.
I think that's good. It's a bit like the Aristocats, maybe. Can't really remember.
And a good comparison to Mike.
Well, I'm glad I said it.
I'm glad.
We're all glad, Al.
Oh, yeah, me too. Andy, should I read through the sketch ideas?
Oh, okay.
All right, we got cut hand chips. That's when you have blood all over your chips because of the guy who was cutting them.
Yeah.
But you get extra protein.
You can
protein.
Really taste the hand cutting. The cut hand.
Oh, yes. I mean, I could cut my hand and make chips at home. I don't know why we go out for this. Action movie, but adults cry. Then we have action hero who becomes physically invulnerable, but it makes him very emotionally vulnerable.
Mm.
We have the truffle hog, which is the mushroom or root vegetable finding cock.
Yep.
We have fun gal infection ad, dancing and passing around a tube of ointment. We have the custard bandits who use non-Newtonian lock picking. We have evolution of forces and isolated pockets of the universe.
Mm.
We have pirate burying your friends because they're the nicest treasure and leave your grandkids your friend Egot in your will.
I'm very happy that the name Egot made it to the pad.
Yeah, well, it just occurred to me, it's kind of close. It's close to ingot, and it sounds valuable.
Sounds very treasuring, treasurely.
Gold ingot is his name.
I have treasured your friendship.
All right, and it'll be played by Owen Wilson.
Ah, very good.
It'll be, I mean, old Wilson, and
Owen will dad.
It will be a leg squeakle to you, me, and Dupree.
There you go.
You, me, and Dupreegut.
You, me, and Dupreequel. No, to... that doesn't work because that would have been before. Damn it.
To...
But if they ever do a prequel to you, me, and Dupree, I hope they call it...
You, me, and Dupreequel.
You, me, and Dupree or... colon origins. I...
Yeah, or you, me, and do squeak wool. All right, let's do this.
Oh, I'm really worried we've stolen that joke off somebody, Alistair.
You will be a do squeak wool. You will be a do squeak wool. You will be a do squeak wool. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this, whatever it may have been.
Whatever this is. Yeah. Mm. Thank you so much. You're the best. You can find us on Twitter at AlistairTB at Stupid Old Andy.
You can join the Discord. Jump on in there. The waters are still warm.
The water's warm. We're having some conversations. Mm. Discussions. Discursions, as we call them on there, because we have a lot of fun. And, you know, you can find Magma and Teleport and My Client is Innocent all online now.
Yeah.
And you can listen to us on Who Knew It with Matt Stewart.
Mm, WikiWills.
Very soon. Very, very soon. So look out for that. Take care of yourselves.
And we
each other. We
love you. And each other.
And each other. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.